Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all here inside, not out in the rain. I want to encourage you to make your way in if you plan to join us for this hour. There are notes in the back, primarily to your left. Is that right? Yeah. And there are a few on the other side of the auditorium. You will want those. I don't put all of the text in my slides, so invite you to do that. Just a couple of heads up before we get started here. Next week, I intend to, Lord willing, address the whole issue of movie ratings and our moral compass. And so that's probably going to be more of a PG discussion, so to speak, with regard to the content. There's not a lot of young kids, but if you had concerns there, I just want you to be aware of that and make plans accordingly. And then secondly, so we've got this morning and then 2 weeks following the last week, one of the pieces I want to do is I want to just look at some helpful resources that are available that we can utilize in making God-honoring entertainment choices. And so I'd really love to hear from some of you. Is there a resource, a website, an accountability software, an ad blocker? You know, if you have things that you are using that are helpful, I'd love to hear what those are and hopefully be able to include that in some of our conversation. So I want us to begin this morning just by reading from Romans chapter 12. I did put this text in your notes, but let's just get this in front of us before we enter in. We're going to be looking at social media this morning as part. I have a piece to get through from last week, but that'll be our primary focus. So Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Let me pray for us. Father, I know we've heard these words so many times, and many of us have memorized them, but I do pray that by your Spirit, you would cause them to impact us in a fresh way. This idea of presenting our bodies to you as a living sacrifice that would be holy and acceptable, and that in light of that, we would not be conformed to this world that has turned away from you, but that we would be transformed, our minds would be renewed so that we might discern what is your will and what is good and pleasing and perfect in your sight. So work among us this morning. Increase that capacity in us, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, lost my clicker. Mike, can you help me? Am I clicking the wrong button? Okay, they're figuring it out. We'll catch up. I'll keep us going, trying to trip over my feet here. So I have three primary objectives this morning. One is just to finish what we started to look at last week and develop a framework for engaging entertainment responsibly. And then secondly, want us to look again. Thank you, Ryan. Did I push something wrong? Great. Okay. So this week we're really, I'm hoping that we can focus on how we got hooked on social media. I hope that will be interesting, maybe eye-opening for some of us. So along those lines, again, just want us to, finishing up last week, develop a framework for engaging entertainment responsibly. Want us to explore why social media is so powerful. And then finally, consider entertainment time and trade-offs. So just three goals this morning. I'm hopeful that we'll get to the third one. we'll see. Just a brief review on where we've been the last two previous weeks. We started really talking about why entertainment is a relevant topic because of how much time it consumes of so many people. It's so ubiquitous, and yet it's a controversial topic for a lot of different reasons, and so it's worth our time and attention. That was really our first week. And we also said that though the Bible doesn't explicitly talk about electronic screen-oriented entertainment, it does have a lot to say about things that we're doing when we are engaged in entertainment, like what we do with our eyes and what our hearts are desiring and what we're hearing. And so the premise there that I'm asserting is that the Bible does have a lot to say about our entertainment choices. And then last week, we really focused on the power of story and also the importance of worldview beliefs and values that are embedded in story, whether it's what we read or what we see with our eyes. And so we looked at really three instances. We spent some time looking at the prophet Nathan, remember, and he told the story about a poor shepherd and his one little sheep that the rich guy took, right? And David explodes in reaction to that, right? And so we talked about why was that so powerful as opposed to just the raw facts of the story. And then we also looked at two instances. We discussed the worldview that's embedded in the Star Wars universe and in the Rogue One movie in particular. And then we also looked at the a song that's part of the animated movie Frozen, Let It Go. We're asking the question, what are the beliefs and values that are being asserted by that song? Just a note, I was pleased that a few people came up to me afterwards and said, well, you know, have you considered the song in its broader context? And here's my interpretation. And though we may agree on some things and disagree on some things, for me, what's important is that you're asking the right questions. You're thinking, well, what is the significance of the song? What's the significance of the lyrics? How does it fit into the overall arc of the story? And what is the worldview that's being promoted through that? So thanks for your engaging with me on that and promoting that. So all of that brought us to... I don't remember if I shared the slide or not, but it's John Frame talks about worldview. He says it's the most important issue in a film. And so we really need to look at it. This is the worldview is what carries the message of the movie, and often in ways that we might not be tuned into, might not even be aware of. And often the values and beliefs that are being presented in the worldview of a movie aren't positive ones, but we're more likely to be passive in entertainment mode to just kind of let those soak in. And so he really rejects the notion, and I do too, that you can just sort of passively take in entertainment and it doesn't have any worldview messages or values or beliefs that it's forwarding. And I would say that it exists to say something. The question is what, and is that in alignment with what we believe? So, having said that, let's spend a few minutes then developing a framework for engaging entertainment responsibly. So, have three or four passages in your notes that speak to entertainment in some way. And I want to ask you to try and summarize what these passages below, taking together, make imperative about how we consume entertainment. So just take a look at those passages. I've included the text of those passages in your notes. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it spring, for from it flow the springs of life. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Romans 12:2, which we just read, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So if you're trying to take those verses and say, what do they make imperative with regard to the way we engage in and consume entertainment, how would you try and summarize that? I mean, it doesn't have to be picture-perfect summary, but what would you put in there? Yeah.
Passively.
Okay, so don't passively consume. Use your mind to actively engage what's being presented to you. Good. Any other thoughts? Got to get your hand up high if you want me to see it. Death?
So the thoughts that are coming into your mind can change your heart. From your heart being changed flows all other things. It could be your actions as well.
Okay, so thoughts coming into your mind have an impact on your heart, and so it's important to take care of what's going on in your heart, because out of that flows the rest of your life, really what your life is oriented toward and grounded on. Good. Any other ideas? Yeah.
All four passages have some variation of holding fast to truth. So I'd say stick to the good stuff.
Okay, good. So all of these in some way are saying we need to grab onto what is true and good and right and abstain from, reject what is false, wrong, or evil. Good. Okay. So let me ask this question. Going back to your school days, some of you are maybe in a classroom environment still, but how would a teacher typically test a student in order to determine their understanding of a certain subject or their progress on their academic journey? How do teachers test? Yeah.
Questions.
You got the right answer. You win $100. Not really. Virtual $100. We'll talk about virtual rewards here in a few minutes, I hope, but congratulations. Questions are a great way of testing things. You notice that one of these, we have references to having your mind renewed so that by testing you may discern what is good and acceptable. And so what I'm proposing is that if we learn to ask good questions about the entertainment choices that we're making, then that's a great means of evaluating whether or not it's something that we should be involved in. And so I want to just take us through a couple of passages, and let's think through this together. Based on these passages, what is a question you might ask based on this passage about an entertainment choice, okay? So here's one. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So how would you frame a question about an entertainment choice with regard to that?
Not very, anyway, am I doing everything in my life to the glory of God?
Okay. So am I doing everything in my life to the glory of God? So narrow that down to entertainment choices then.
Getting too close to home.
Getting too close to home. Okay, that's where we're going. We're coming home with it. Okay? Any other comments or additional thoughts? Yeah.
A question. Is whatever I'm feeding my soul through entertainment media doing it to the glory of God?
Okay. So is what I'm feeding my soul doing, or am I doing it for the glory of God? Yeah. Ben?
How does this glorify God?
How does this glorify God? Yeah, great. So I think, you know, we could all come up with different variations, but this is kind of how I frame the question in for myself. Will this entertainment choice result in God being honored? And more specifically, will this entertainment choice cause me to trust and treasure God more or less? So how do you do anything from watching a movie to drinking a glass of orange juice to the glory of God? Someone, I think, Ben asked, how does this glorify God or not? So something that I found helpful with regard to this question, because this for me is kind of a baseline key question that I want to ideally ask of everything I'm doing in life, but particularly with my entertainment choices. And so some of you have heard that John Piper coined the phrase that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him, right? And so if I want God to get the glory, I want whatever I'm doing to cause me to be most satisfied in him. And so a key question for me is my involvement, is my choice to participate in this entertainment going to increase my capacity to be satisfied in God, or is it going to take me away from that and seek to decrease that capacity and increase my desire and capacity to be satisfied in something apart from God? So this is, for me, a key question. Well, let's go on to the next one. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So, how would you turn that passage into a question with regard to an entertainment choice? Thoughts? Yeah?
Does this TV show cause me to think about excellent things?
Great, okay, so is this TV show or whatever it would be going to cause me to think about excellent things? What else?
Is what I'm consuming worthy of praise?
Okay, great. Is what I'm consuming worthy of praise? Good, yeah.
Is what they're promoting really true according to God's word?
Okay, so is the message, is what they're promoting actually true according to what God says is true in his word? Yeah? Okay, this is kind of how I put it in words. Will this entertainment choice involve me thinking about what is true and good and honorable and beautiful in God's eyes, right? So that doesn't mean that everything I watch is beautiful in its own right, but my intention would be that it is causing me to think about and love what is good and beautiful, even if it is something regarding the war in Ukraine, which is, you know, a tragedy. Tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of people have perished in that war, right? So in and of itself, that's not a lovely thing to look about and think about, but the question I'm asking is that causing me to love what is good and just and true and honorable, or is it causing my desires and is it causing bloodlust and things that aren't good and lovely and true in God's eyes, right? So that's a question I'm asking, is what kinds of things is it causing me to think about, and how is it causing me to think about those things? So it's not just does entertainment content present something that's beautiful or not, but what is it saying about that? Is it saying that something that is good is ugly? Is it saying something that is evil and wicked good? And is it inviting me to align my emotional response and my thinking to that? All right, let's do a couple of others here. Genesis 3:6, Psalm 101:3. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Psalm 101:3, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. So how would you frame a question based on these two verses about entertainment choices?
I was feeding this, how is this entertainment choice or TV show feeding my spirit?
Okay, how is this entertainment choice or this TV show feeding my spirit? Yeah?
Okay. Will consuming this entertainment choice lead me to hold true to what I know or to fall away because even though it looks good?
Okay, so will this entertainment choice lead me to hold true to what I know is good or cause me to fall away from that? Yeah, got a flash hand over here today?
Same thing?
Okay, wanna say it again?
Just will this cause me to turn away from God?
Yeah, great. Good choice. Will this result in causing me to turn away from God toward other things? Yeah.
There's a deeper question that you could have asked is, am I being honest with myself?
Yes.
Because she developed a reasoned argument, but it's based on a corrupt premise.
Okay, great. So sort of an underlying question to be asked is are we being honest with ourselves? Because Eve was obviously deceiving herself into thinking that something was being offered, but she wasn't being honest, or she wasn't aligning her assessment of that with what God had already said was true. So this kind of raises, this sort of in parentheses, let me throw this out. One of the keys for us in this whole question of entertainment choices is how... are we really intending to submit ourselves to God's word and his standards with what we do in life? That's the first question. Are we submitting ourselves to that? And secondly, are we really going to be honest? Are we going to play hardball with our own thoughts and attitudes and desires? Because there is such a thing as deceitful desires. Did you know that? That our desires can deceive us. We can justify all kinds of desires. This is going to make me wise, right? To do things that are wicked or to do things that are going to turn our hearts away from God. So those are two really key questions. Thanks, Ben, for bringing that up. So I put in here, will this entertainment choice entice me to covet and take delight in things that God has forbidden or that are spiritually worthless? Okay, I want to ask that question. What is the outcome? What is the result going to be of me choosing this kind of entertainment? Okay, a couple more quickly. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Look carefully then at how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. So, how would you turn that into a question about entertainment choices?
Is this a good use of my time, or could I be doing something else that's more profitable?
Great. Is this a good use of my time, or could I be using this time for something that's more profitable? Right. Good question to ask. We'll be spending a little bit more time on this issue, hopefully at the end of our hour today. So, is this entertainment choice the best stewardship of the time and resources God has given me in light of my other responsibilities and commitments, right? So some of you, like me, have probably done some binge watching on multiples of a movie series, whether it's Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or whatever, or a video game that's, you're not just an hour, but two or three or four. And the question is, are there other responsibilities that I'm neglecting toward my wife and my kids and my work and connecting with God in place of that, right? And so this is a great question to be asking. And then finally, here's a couple of verses. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Ephesians 5:4, let there be no filthiness or foolish talk. Sorry, I lost my place. Let there be no filthiness nor foolish talk nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. So how would you turn those two passages into a question about your entertainment choices? Any thoughts?
Is what I'm doing now glorifying God and how I'm presenting myself with whoever I might be with for the foolish talk, crude joking, or instead of giving thanks for something else that you're talking about, not the best.
Okay, all right. So is the way that I am participating in this with others honoring God by the way that we're talking about this in the conversation? That would be a good question. Anything else? Yeah, Aaron.
Is what I'm watching or taking in making me cynical and look down on everything in the world, or is it giving me things that I can thank God for?
Yeah, good. So is this causing me to be cynical in my worldview and my thinking, or is it causing me to give, to be thankful to God? So here's another key question is, can I honestly before God say, God, thank you for the opportunity to see what I'm seeing, to hear what I'm hearing. Thank you, God, for how this is shaping my soul and my heart and my mind. Thank you, God, for how this is going to impact the way that I love you and serve others as a follower of Jesus. So really good question is this going to cause a response, and can I honestly say, God, thank you for that or not? And if you can't, then you need to be asking why, and does it align with the biblical worldview and values that you want to pursue as a follower of Jesus? So what we're doing here is we're taking verses of what God has said in his word to us about what is right and good and true and how we govern our lives around that, and we're turning them into questions to help test and discern whether a particular entertainment choice we're making lines up or not, okay? So that's a framework. It's a set of principles, of guidelines that will help us, if we're willing to ask the questions, it will help guide us in God-honoring entertainment choices. So enough on that. Let's move on then to what I wanted to spend some time talking with you about this morning, and that is how we got hooked on social media. Last week we talked about why story is so powerful. So this morning I want to spend some time talking about why social media is so powerful. So let's just begin by answering the question, what are some of the most valuable things that social media provides to you? I'm sorry, can you get
information?
Information, okay, so you can get access to information, good. Yeah, in the back?
Skills.
Business skills, okay. So you can get onto certain groups that provide information if you have a business or something. Now my wife does balloon twisting and clowning and face painting, and so she can just get on and get all kinds of great information about how to do this, how to sell this, how to work with your customer on this thing. So yeah, good. Anything else?
Community.
Okay, good. So you can be part of a group with similar interests. I work at a Chamber of Commerce in Red Bluff, and so I'm part of a Chamber Professionals Facebook group. So all kinds of questions about how you run a chamber office and deal with issues. I can go there, I can ask a question and get response from people that are experienced in my field to help me do my job better. Anything else? It's instant, okay? So it's quick. You get quick response. Great. Yeah.
You can reach a wide audience with information you want to put out there for better or worse.
Okay, so it gives the capacity, the capability to really reach beyond an audience that you might otherwise. So book publishing, you know, before it's like you had this little book, how would you get it out to someone? You know, you just had no audience. But with the age of the internet and social media, you can promote that out to thousands, even millions of people fairly inexpensively, and potentially have them see the content that you're developing. Any other thoughts about, yeah?
You can potentially find people that you've lost contact with that you're are still trying to build relationships with.
Okay, so you can potentially find people that you've lost contact with or stay connected with people that you want to stay connected with. So, you know, I have family members throughout the states. My daughter, Rihanna, lives in Minnesota, in Rochester, Minnesota. And it's great to be able to get on Facebook and do a Facebook video chat with her and see our brand new baby daughter. And, you know, that so it allows us to be connected in a way that just wasn't possible before the advent of the internet and social media. Yeah.
The same thing with my family in Africa.
Okay, yeah, even as far as Africa, you can do that. Isn't that amazing? You know, when we lived in Central Asia for 10 years, we were still doing the landline phone thing, and it would click and hang up, and you'd wait an hour to make the connection, and you'd finally get them on, and it was a, you know, and you couldn't hear. And so, yeah, it was a different world then I suspect that most places, certainly not all places, but most places have much better connectivity and some kind of visual communication going on there. Okay, well, so there are some clear benefits. Connectivity, community, networking, creativity, marketing, consumer engagement, and even entertainment, shall I say. There's some entertainment on social media. These are things that they bring to us that we value. So let's ask the question then, what are some of the design elements in social media that cause people to be engaged, to value what they offer? And so I'm gonna present several of them. They're in your notes. But I want you to be asking the question, how do the different social media platforms that you're familiar with, how do they do this differently? How are they competing with one another for your time? Because they are. They want you to spend more time on their platform and not the other guy's platform, because they make their money based upon how much time you spend on that platform and therefore how many ads they can throw in front of you to get their payoff that they're looking for. So let's just go through some of these quickly. Dopamine rewards. I'm sure there are several here that could talk more authoritatively about what this is about. But essentially, there's a chemical in your brain that's associated with pleasure and reward. And so when you post something on a social media platform and someone likes it, ding, chemicals go crazy in your brain. Woo, somebody liked me. Or if someone follows something that you're talking about, or if they take a post that you did and they share it with someone else, your brain's just doing this, right? So it's rewarding you, and that causes you to then want to get more of that reward, okay? And this didn't just happen. They know this, right? These are smart people. They know what's going on and how they can trigger this stuff in your brain. Aligned with that is also the fear of missing out, right? So if you think that something is happening or coming across the social media feeds, and if you don't check in on it, you're going to miss out on the fad or the trend or what's really important, then what's that going to do? You're going to want to make sure that you are plugged in all the time. And so there's something in your psychology that says, I don't want to miss out on something that could be important, something that I could like. And so that's going to push you to be engaged more often. And then just their algorithms that they use to promote this. So every time you click on a link or you like something, or even now, like if YouTube, if you watch, they have a little graph that shows where people are spending more time in certain segments of a video and less time. YouTube knows what you're doing with that, right? And so if they see that you're watching a certain segment of a video, they're saying, oh, what's that about? And then they're going to pull in a bunch more content that aligns with what they know you're already drawn to, right? So they're personalizing what they're sending your way so that you'll like it and stay engaged on their platform longer, right? And then in connection with this, they also use the endless scroll feature, right? So you never just look at one Facebook post or one YouTube video. Or you name it, right? Because you look at one, and then below it is another one. And if you do that, and you could literally just keep scrolling down. And the farther, it's like, when do I get to the end of that? And then that scroll bar is kicking up, right? Because it's feeding all the other content in it, right? That's done so that you will continue to be engaged with all of this personalized content that they're sending your way. And in there, they're going to sneak some ads in that helps them get their big payoff, okay? So those are a couple of things. So interesting, a guy who is a professor at New York University, I think he's in marketing and business psychology, so he's done some talks, and he says in the past, we had stopping cues in our lives. So if you wanted to watch a TV show in the past, it came out once a week, you knew that it was that hour, you just sit down and you'd watch it, and it was done. And you had to wait until the next week to get the next installment, right? That's the way that it worked. Or if you were subscribed to a newspaper, you would read the newspaper, and when you were done, you were done, right? But in our current environment, these stopping cues have disappeared. There's no stopping. There's no end of the story. There's no end of the feed. So you can just keep going and going and going, right? And never feel like you got to the end of it, because you didn't. All right, let's move on to a couple more. So they also tie into approval and comparison. So the validation that comes to people through likes and comments motivates people to continue posting, but they want that approval, right? And so they are comparing themselves to the real lives of other people on Facebook and Snapchat and everything else, and they're then wanting to post content that shows the world that they're like all the people they want to be like, or they want to at least make people think they're like all the people they want to be like. And so this is a powerful motivator as people seek approval and validation from their peers and others, and this can create a compulsive behavior to just want to keep posting more and something better, something more amazing, something that will get more likes and more attention, right? And so people just get sucked into that track. And then with that, there's, let me back up, miss one. There's the idea of instant gratification. So you don't have to wait a day to find out if somebody liked what you posted or shared it, right? Bing, it's just right there. So push notifications on your phone, like on my phone right now, I see that somebody sent me a text message. I've got a couple of other icons on my phone telling me, look at this, something new came through, don't miss it, right? And so that's what they're doing, is they're pushing out these notifications. And you want to say, how many of you, I know most of you have never done this like me, but like you posted something on Facebook and you went back and you were just kept checking, did somebody like it? Did somebody push that like button? Did somebody share it? Did anybody care? Did anybody even read this? You know? That's what this is doing. This instant gratification that just keeps you wanting to go back again and again and again to keep you engaged as long as they can. And then lastly, just gamification. You get rewards, you get virtual money, you get stars. If you get 100 users or 100,000 users or whatever, right, then you're somebody on the social media platform if you've got that many friends, right? And so they'll make little stars go on your screen and hearts and all kinds of stuff to make you feel like, wow, this is kind of fun. This is like a game that I'm competing to get my status in the social media world, right? Okay, so having said all that, how do social media platforms do this differently? How are they competing? I mean, you guys use some of this, if not all of it. What's different about the platforms that makes you engage with one versus another?
YouTube has traditionally been longer form content, more of an information space.
Okay.
Some of the platform like TikTok is short video format, designed to keep your attention and allow for that endless scroll to be possible.
Okay, great, yeah.
Now YouTube is switching more and more into really pushing shorts a lot.
Yeah.
It's basically YouTube's version of TikTok because they're losing people to
TikTok. Okay, great. So YouTube was, you could go watch full-length movies, you could even have, I mean, some live streams that went for hours and hours and hours, right? You just watch it there. And then you had some others come along like TikTok, and they're like 15-second videos, right? And that's all they do. And a lot of people want that short form content. They just want a quick peek and then move on to something else. And so now YouTube is saying, oh, they're getting our crowd, right? And so now they're gonna change what they're feeding up to you to give you shorter videos so that they compete to get your attention over some of these other video ones. Yeah.
I think some sort of disguise their social media-ness and like higher purpose, or like, for instance, LinkedIn. I think about LinkedIn. I made a LinkedIn account years ago just because it's the professionals, whatever their slogan is.
Yeah, so did that.
Yeah, but I've never been like an Instagram, Facebook, any of that stuff I've never done. But I'm like, well, I'll do that for work stuff. And it is just another form of posting and content and scrolling. It's just the same thing packaged up in a way that I find a little more sophisticated and palatable, you know, than like...
Okay. So the social media platforms, LinkedIn as one example, is they don't want to characterize themselves as just a bunch of fleeting, meaningless information that's not going to change your life. It's like, this is important. This is about your professional career development. And so you need to invest in this because it's going to make a difference, right? And if it's not a professional, then it might be quality of life, experience. They want to tell you this is really going to make a difference for you. And so, therefore, it's more worthwhile to plug in with us than the other folks. Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, they use algorithms to give you personalized feeds. Short form is really big with Instagram. Snapchat's the one that, like, makes stuff go away, right? Is that right? So, like, someone sends you a picture, and, like, if you don't look at it after a certain amount of time, it's gone, right? Or you can just look at it once, and then it's done, right? And so that's the idea, like, don't miss out. You know, FOMO, don't miss out. If you don't get this, it's not going to be here anymore.
With teenagers, it's a way to hide what they're doing, too. And it'll actually notify them if someone has screen captured. I've dealt with this at the school. It's a way to be sneaky with your parents so they don't know what you're at.
Yeah, great. So here's another way. The fleetingness of some of the posts means that you're free to post whatever you want without fear that somehow it's going to live on the internet forever, right? And so if your parents or your boss or someone else, if you don't want them to see what you're doing, then some of these, even though you can, like, click a screen grab, right? So it's a fallacy that you can, like, throw up a picture or something that you wouldn't want to be in public and it, like, disappeared, because it's, you know, there are a ton of ways for it to just not be disappeared. But for teenagers and others, right, I mean, there's this false sense of, well, I can do this without fear of recrimination. Yeah. And then some other things, like some of you use augmented reality and filters, so you can put little bunny ears on your picture or do funny faces that make your eyes big, or, you know, things that make people laugh or make it fun, right? So there's all kinds of special filters that they use, again, to draw you in and encourage you to use their content. So I think I want to stop on that note with that. And so now let's look at some passages in the Bible and try to identify the beliefs or values that run counter to those that social media platforms are seeking to instill, okay? So 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. So what are some values or beliefs there that might run counter to what social media is telling you is valuable or true? Any thoughts? I have a couple other references in there, John 5, 4, Colossians 3, 23, 24, Matthew 6, 31, 33. So any ideas? How does that run counter to the social media world?
Well, you're doing everything for the approval of man on social media.
Okay.
I mean, everything you post is going out there to be consumed by man, by people.
Yeah.
You're not doing it to please God.
Yeah, great. So social media really instills this idea that what other people approve of that you're doing is of ultimate value and importance, right? But the Bible says that God's approval is what really counts. And therefore, what you say and what you post and what you do, let it be done for the approval of God and not for the approval of men. Yeah.
Another aspect of social media is that they all have these guidelines for community guidelines for what you can or can't say. And most of the time, those run counter to the truth of Scripture. So saying something that is true could get you banned. And so you're
Okay. So the fine print of social media platforms often say that you can't engage yourself in what they determine as hate speech or discriminatory speech, which often, if you invoke Christian values or beliefs about what constitutes biblical marriage or what is morally acceptable, can land you in that camp and get you canceled because you posted something that didn't fall within their guidelines. Yeah, great. Let's look at another one. 1 Peter 3:3-4, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart and the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. So, what is that saying? What are the beliefs and values that that is putting forward that counter social media values and beliefs? Yeah, Joe?
You are trying to prove to be someone you're not. You're trying to make yourself look to fit in, but actually deep inside is actually what counts.
Okay, so social media can often entice you to put something forward about how you look and how good you are, even if in the inside that doesn't measure up, but you're drawn to that. Whereas this says, don't be putting forward the externals of how beautiful or lovely or exciting or smart you are for the approval of others, right? So you guys know that many of these, like for your profile pictures, whatnot, you can like touch up your makeup and make, you know, take out all the zits, and you can take a guy looking like me and like make him look really buff and cool, right? Or smart, right? And they've got all these filters built in and all these instructional material to help you present yourself as more lovely or intelligent or beautiful or worth listening to, right? And many people, maybe some of you even, have touched up how you present yourselves to others because you want their approval in one way or another. Yeah. But the Bible says, don't do that, but rather be concerned about the inner beauty of who you are. Seek to honor God and get his approval by what's going on inside, not a fixation on all the externals, which are fleeting. Even the best looking of all of you, I hate to say it, it's going to go away. Right? It's a fleeting, beautiful as you are. It's just, we're all on a track, right? So I hope you're not hanging your hopes on that in your social media life. Yeah.
There's all kinds of incentive structures for to reward individuals who show that exterior beauty, but it's not really necessarily possible to reward someone on a social media platform by showing the hidden person of their heart. That's not really something that's possible for that.
Okay, yeah.
Receive a reward for following this passage of scripture through a social media platform.
Okay, great, yeah. So social media is really geared toward the image visual that you put forward. It's not really geared toward showing who is this person in their inner workings of their life. Are they a person of integrity? Are they honest? Are they faithful? Are they kind? You can get at some of that maybe with some of your posts, but it's not geared to that nearly as well. Okay, let's look at one more. 1 Timothy 6, 6-8, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content. So what is the value or belief that that puts forward that counters the values that social media is putting forward? Any thoughts?
I can be content with what God has provided, whereas on social media, almost in a commercialized way, it's like, here's the thing you can have, here's another thing you can have, here's another thing you can have. Instilling an attitude of covetousness.
Yeah, great. Okay, so what Jacob said is that I can be content with what God has provided, and be okay with that, where social media lives on making you uncontent with your life and what you're seeing because they need you, they want you to continually be diving into more stuff. If you went onto a social media platform and after 5 minutes you felt like, I feel so good, I've had enough, right? They would die. They wouldn't exist, right? That's not their goal. Right? Do you hear that? The goal of social media is not to make you content. But what the Bible says is that you can be content with what God has provided and therefore not seek after all of the endless scroll of stuff you could experience or have or seek to achieve, right? Okay, so again, what we're doing here is we're taking passages of what God has said in his word and we're asking the question, how does my entertainment choices, how does my social media engagement align with those things? And is it promoting a God-honoring life, a biblically aligned lifestyle, a biblically transformed heart and mind or not? And secondly, you know, can I be honest about that? And thirdly, what am I going to do about it? All right. Those are probably the three key questions that we want to be asking. Yeah.
I was just reminded of, there was that documentary out a few years ago about social media, and they made the point that you're not their customer. So, like, many companies exist to serve their customers, right? They produce a product. Their customers are ad agents. I mean, their customers are the people advertising. And you're just, like, the pawn in the game to try and make them money. And it's just a really... It sort of touches on, I don't know, some of this, what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
It's just that idea that you're just there to consume and then to run the algorithm so their advertisers pay them. And it just sort of turns it on its head a little bit for me, which
I thought was interesting. So what Jeremy's saying is that we might think that we are the coveted customer, but in fact, the money flow isn't coming through us. It's coming through the advertisers that are paying to have their content presented on your feeds. And so we're just the means to that financial gain they had. There's another hand? Yeah.
I was just going to make a comment that I feel like with so many things in the world, that something that is good and true from the beginning, the world twists it into something that's evil. So, like, we're built as humans. God builds us to be in community, and God builds us to make connections, and God builds us to worship. And yet, the way that social media has morphed, it's like we're in community, but it's not real community. We're linking with other people, but it's not a true link sometimes. And we're worshiping, but we're not worshiping God.
Okay, great.
So it's like twisted our natural God-given to something negative.
So social media has the potential to provide some genuinely valuable things, but for a lot of reasons, that gets distorted and twisted and leveraged to draw us into a mindset and a lifestyle that's not actually worshipful and that's not going to transform us more and more into the image of Christ that we are intended to. All right, we're going to do one more thing. There's another passage. Okay, we'll get this and then we'll do one more piece. So, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. So how would you state the beliefs or values in that verse that counters beliefs or values? Yeah?
Well, in the Bible, it tells you, like in this one, wait patiently for him. But with the social media, they don't govern who's on there and doing what. And so some of the big examples are the people in other countries or other states that are fishing. They prey upon the women who are not patiently waiting for a mate, or the widow with a lot of money who gets taken by these people that can approach them through the social media and rob them. So in that way, the social media doesn't patrol the people that do that. Whereas with God and the belief in the Bible system, wait on the Lord and he will provide.
Okay, so social media isn't governing its users and who is fishing for people to be engaged or to draw a woman or a man into a relationship, whether it's, you know, valid or not. That's not governed very well. Whereas, if I understand you correctly, you're saying if we are putting ourselves before God, then God and his word will govern our lives in a way that keeps us out of that unhealthy place. Okay, any other thoughts on that?
We weren't designed as human beings to carry the knowledge of the weight of all of the evil that goes on in the world. With news and social media and everything, now we're aware of horrible atrocities, evil and wickedness that occurs in worlds far beyond our influence and our reach. And that adds a stress and a despair attitude towards life that God is capable of handling, and that we can pray about those things, but
great observation.
Responsibility. God's got it.
So I hope to get to it. I'm running out of time in this class, not just this morning, but in our next 2 weeks. But there's a guy named Neil Postman who wrote a book, Entertaining Ourselves to Death, and he has some things to say about how our current media age inundates us with information from all over the world, all the wars, all the tragedies, all the bad stuff that's going on, most of which we are going to have that much impact on, and which impacts our life that much, right? And yet, we are being drawn to consume that and bear the stress of all of those things. Now, I'm not saying we should just have our head in the sand and not care about what's going on in the world, but the reality is there's this endless trough of stuff that we're being encouraged to feed on that can outstrip our capacity to engage with meaningfully. In some ways, that adds a burden of stress to what we're doing. Whereas what this verse says is, be still before the Lord. Yeah, Susan.
So when I was in college, the pastor over our group taught me, like, when you're reading the news, you pray over the news. You don't just read the news, you pray through the news. So, like, that is overwhelming, and I agree with Ben. But we do have access to God, and we can use that as an opportunity to enter before Him and pray for that situation that we may never have heard about otherwise. And it may be a situation that isn't in a place in the world that gets covered with prayer very often. And so in that way, we can affect the world positively.
Yeah.
If we bring that and wait before the Lord with that, it may be something He puts on our heart. It may be a one-time prayer.
Great. So Susan's comment is that on a more positive note, access to information that we have through the internet and social media feeds and, you know, news feeds generally, is that through prayer, we can have an impact on things. Voice of the Martyrs and information about the persecuted church, the Joshua Project, these are things that help us get connected with the plight and reality of people in different places. And through prayer, we can actually have an impact on that if we're intentional about what we're doing when we are seeing or consuming this. So, we didn't get to our time and trade-offs of entertainment. We're going to do that next week. I think it is an important topic. So, next week we'll look at entertainment, time, and trade-offs, and we're going to ask the question: what do we do with movie ratings? This is where the key question that most people are asking is, should Christians watch rated R movies or not? Right? Okay, so we're going to try and talk about what do we do with our content, and how do we honor God with what's being shown in the content. So that'll be our focus next week. And then just as a reminder, the last week that we have, I do hope to get into some kind of practical helps, things that we can utilize, access in our desire to make God-honoring entertainment choices. So if you have a platform or a software or a plugin or something that you use, or even just a means, whether it's an accountability group, a meeting, how you manage it in your family in terms of choices that you make, who gets access to your laptop or not, I'd love to get an email or a text or a call from you saying, hey, I've used this and it's been really helpful. So I hope our last week we can kind of dig into that a little bit, find out what people are able to use along those lines. That's helpful. So I'm going to pray for us and we'll be done. Father, I pray, since we are here on a Sunday morning gathered with your people, that you might grant us to enter into that quiet place before you and look to the mountains, as it were, and know from where our help comes. Our help comes from you, the maker of heaven and earth. Help us, O God, to be satisfied, content, delighted in all that you promise to be for us in Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. All right, thanks everyone. We'll see you next week.